Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Daniel chapter 5. We won't get as far as I thought we might, but that's okay, because we'll just pick up next week. But this is the chapter 5, and many of you have probably read this story many times. You know it, you could probably tell it, but this is where God took his... Oh, hey, Brother Gerald and Connie, good to see you guys tonight. But this is where the Babylonian king. Now, a lot of people think he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, but he was actually the grandson. And I'm going to give you a little history tonight so you can put it in perspective. But he was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And I'll just give you the story in short. And just to remind you, his city of Babylon, was being attacked by the Persians. And while this attack was going on, he held a party, got drunk. In his drunken state, he ordered the dishes that his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem. And he used those dishes and those cups and the sacred vessels to serve the guests at his party. And God was displeased, and a man's finger, actually it was God's finger, appeared, wrote on the wall, and said, hey, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Tonight you're going to die, and the nation of Babylon is going to be destroyed. So that's a story. You probably heard it, but there's some interesting things along the way. So let me just give you a little bit of history to sort of set the stage. About 25 years has passed between what occurs in Daniel chapter 5 and Nebuchadnezzar's death, okay? During that 25 years, when Nebuchadnezzar died, his only son, and his name was Merodach, succeeded him through the throne, okay? He was murdered by one of his brother-in-laws, a guy by the name of Sherezer, who had married one of Nebuchadnezzar's daughters. And so he ruled for a while. He died, and then his son reigned for a few months after his dad died. That son was murdered by another, his uncle. Another man that had married one of Nebuchadnezzar's daughters, a man by the name of Nabonidus. So he was ruling Babylon at this time, but he didn't stay in the city. He led the army and went out to different places to fight against different people. And his son, who was named Belshazzar, remained in Babylon. And so he had Nabonidus, who was the first regent, so to speak. And then he had Belshazzar, who was the second regent. And that's going to be important as we go through the story. There's some scholars that say there's no record of Belshazzar as the king of Babylon. But they've actually found a vase that contains a prayer to a false god by his dad for his son. Again, Nabonidus is out fighting. His son Belshazzar is ruling Babylon. The Persians are attacking. Now, the way they attacked, again, history tells us that, they had actually diverted part of the Euphrates River to provide water to the city, okay? And the city of Babylon, I'll talk about it in a minute, was very well fortified. Well, it had a wall 500 feet tall that was wide enough for four chariots to drive on the top of it, okay? And they had enough food and water with this part of the river coming in that they didn't have to open the city gates for years. They could have lived for years. But what the Persians did to get in is they channeled the river, part of the river, the Euphrates River, that they had channeled into the city. They channeled it back to its original flow, dried up that canal, or whatever you want to call it, that tunnel that came underneath the wall and provided water for the city, and marched in through that tunnel to take the city, okay? So we start Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Now, again, it's hard to understand why he would do this when the Persian army was knocking at the door. I mean, they could look out and they could see the Persian army camped around the city. Maybe he was so arrogant, they thought, hey, my grandfather built this city to withstand any siege. There's no way they're going to get in. Or Maybe he had this feast to say, hey, I have no, to show contempt on the Persians. I have no fear of what the Persians can do. They can't get in. They won't do us any harm. Or maybe he did it to boost morale. Maybe as his lords and his those that were in, you know, the administration of his rule were getting worried about the Persians surrounding the city. And so he said, well, I'm not worried, so we'll just have a feast. And I'll just show them that I'm not worried at all, and that you know you don't have anything to worry about, and so we'll just have this party. Now we're going to see if that last reason was the reason he had it. He quickly lost it when the hand appeared and began writing on the wall. So look at verses 2 and 3. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father, now again, father used in a generic term, actually his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. So he got drunk. Again, he called for them out of the treasury to bring these dishes and glasses that Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, had taken from the temple at Jerusalem. They were holy vessels. Okay, they were vessels that were dedicated to God. Nebuchadnezzar never used them. I mean, we've talked about Nebuchadnezzar the last few weeks, how through a series of events he came to know God and honor God and praise God and I believe accepted God. And so he did not take these vessels out of the treasury, but in contempt of God, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson did not learn the lessons from his grandfather, because in contempt of God, he took the holy vessels that again that had been dedicated to God and used them in a drunken party to serve wine to his guest. So verse 4, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. So they praised, they used the holy dishes from the temple in Jerusalem, and they did it for a religious reason. They used them to praise the false gods, the gods that were, the idols that were made out of gold and silver and stone and wood, the gods that they worshiped as a nation of Babylon. And again, to say that God was displeased is just putting it mildly. The Bible doesn't talk about God's anger, but it talks about God's forthrightness and his directness in dealing with Belshazzar, and said, hey, you've been weighed in the balances, you've been found wanting, you're going to be destroyed tonight. And the nation of Babylon is going to be destroyed tonight. So look at verse 5. In the same hour, while they were having this party, as they were drinking out of the dishes that they'd taken out of the temple, came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And so here's the picture. Here's a king. He's drunk. He's showed his contempt against God by taking holy vessels and using them for unholy purposes. And God intervened. Now he'd spoken to Nebuchadnezzar in dreams, but he was more direct this time. It wasn't a dream or a vision. A part of a hand appeared and wrote on the wall. Some people have asked, whose hand was it? One of the main guys I'm studying says, I think it was the same hand that wrote on the sand when the Pharisees brought the harlot to Jesus. And said, we caught her in the very act, and she deserves to be stoned. And Jesus stooped down and wrote in the sand and rose up and said, hey, you that are without the first sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And this guy says that was the same hand that wrote on the wall. And here's verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. If he was drunk, he got sober instantly. His drunkenness was scared out of him. His countenance, the way he looked, was changed. You could just see the arrogance in his face that drained out. I'm sure he was pale, white. His thoughts troubled him so much so that his knees began to knock one against the other. He was frightened. He was scared. If the king had arranged this banquet to raise morale, what has happened now has done just the opposite, because his lords now see their leader scared to death, so much so that his knees are knocking together. Verse 7, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold around his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Now he could only offer the third ruler in the kingdom because his dad was number one, he was number two. And so whoever, he said, could read the writing and tell him what it means, he'll be the third ruler and he'll be given gifts. Now, so he called all the wise men in. Verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. I don't know about you, but I'm not too impressed with the wise men of Babylon. I mean, in chapter 2, they couldn't tell Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed and what he meant. In chapter 4, they couldn't tell him the interpretation of the dream, that he told them what they dreamed. And here in chapter 5, they can't read what the writing says nor what it meant. I don't know about you. I'd fire those guys because they cannot get their job done. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. So again, as they saw the change in their king, they were astonished at the change. And again, started out very arrogant, started out saying, "Hey, I'm not worried about the Persians. Let them come. Bring it on. We can handle anything." And now he's so scared that his knees are knocking together. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. Now, the queen is not his wife, it's not his mother, it's actually his grandmother. It's Nebuchadnezzar's wife, okay? So the queen came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. Because there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father," the king, I say, "thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." So here again, this king had called in all the wise men of Babylon. "Hey, you read what's written on the wall. You tell me what it means. I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom. I'll give you gold, silver, and all these gifts." They could not. His grandmother came in and said, "Hey, let me tell you about somebody." Now, Belshazzar had probably heard about Daniel, although he probably never used Daniel. And probably, in all probability, none of the people that ruled from Nebuchadnezzar to this king had probably used Daniel. He was probably what we might call, he was in retirement, okay? He probably still had a position in the court, but he was never called upon. And so the queen, again, this king's grandmother came in and said, "Hey, let me tell you about somebody. You know him, but you've never used him. In the days of your grandfather made him the head of all the wise men in Babylon." I mean, he was the head magician, sorcerer, astrologer. I mean, because he could interpret dreams. He had the spirit of God. in him. And he could tell, he told your grandfather not only the interpretation of the dream, he told your grandfather what he dreamed. And then he told your grandfather again what he dreamed, and that dream came true. And you know, this grandson knew what had happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He knew that he'd lost his mind. He knew that he had lived among the animals for 7 years. He knew that God had restored him to his kingdom. He knew all that. Those were the stories and the accounts that were told in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar decreed it. Remember, last week we talked about it. He wrote in chapter 4, I want everybody to know. I want everybody to know what the God of heaven has done to me. How he got my attention. How he changed my life. And the queen said, you call him. And he'll tell you what the writing means. He'll tell you what's written, and he'll tell you what it means, and you can depend on him because what he's going to tell you will be true. Okay, we'll stop there for tonight. We'll pick up next week. Thank you for being here. The men will be praying. The ladies will be praying. If you'd like to join them, please do that. But let's stand together, and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.